Can God change your life in the next 30 minutes? I believe you're watching right now because God has something special for you. Join me for Jewish Voice and you'll discover how Bible prophecy is coming to pass before our very eyes and why you need to stand with Israel. You can play a role in God's end time plan. Find out how on Jewish Voice. Shalom and welcome to Jewish Voice. We're so glad you're with us today. I'm Jonathan Bernis. Well, as a Messianic Jewish rabbi and a believer in Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, I'm often asked if the Old Testament is still relevant for us as Christians. After all, Jesus came to show us grace, so why should we bother with the law? My co-host today, Ezra Benjamin, is back with me, and he's going to help us sort through this important question. Ezra, welcome back.
Thanks, Jonathan. Always great to be here.
We get so many questions, not just questions, but challenges
right.
about the Old Testament, law versus grace, and it's really built on this dichotomy, conflict, actually, between law and grace.
Sure.
But in actuality, this is not a biblical conflict in the New Testament, is it?
It's not at all. And actually, I want to, you know, point out the word you use there, because if we say law versus grace, we've already misstepped a bit, haven't we? Grace isn't in opposition to the law. Grace is God's means for our ability to fulfill the law by His Spirit, covered in the blood of His Son, Jesus. That's the bottom line.
That's a great answer. I want to just highlight the word fulfill.
Sure.
Which is usually understood to mean complete, done away with, eradicated.
Right.
But in fact, fulfill, someone told me this, I thought it was great, is best translated or understood by reversing the word. So
reverse the syllables.
The syllables, so yep. you have fill full. Hmm. And I think that's a great definition of fulfill.
Sure.
Reverse the syllables, it's filling full. It's like taking a glass and filling it with water till it overflows.
Exactly.
That's the idea. It's not that it's been eradicated, but that it's been brought into fullness.
Definitely. Jonathan, you know, I want to go right to kind of to the bullseye of a very uncomfortable scripture, maybe. As you've read the Bible, we know you believe it's God's word, but there's those verses, right, that we don't quite know what to do with. So we either become fixated and confused or we skip over them. And one of those is actually in Matthew 5, in what we know as the Sermon on the Mount, right? Jesus has this great audience on the slopes of the Sea of Galilee. Jonathan, we've been there, the slopes of the northern
Many times.
Kind of coast of the Sea of Galilee, and there's so many people that he has to get into a boat so that he can be heard, and he starts sharing with Jewish people, many of whom kind of feel like outcasts, right, from the religious elite in Israel at the time. Can I ever really be righteous? Maybe I can't. Maybe that means God's distant from me. And he's speaking to that crowd about what it really means to fulfill the law, what grace really means. And there's this verse here that maybe it's made you uncomfortable. It's made me uncomfortable. This is Matthew 5, verse 17. Don't think, Jesus says to the listeners, don't think that I came to abolish the Torah or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Or to fill full. That's the word right there. Amen, I tell you, in verse 18. Amen, I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or serif shall ever pass away from the Torah until all things come to pass. And that word there, serif, it's the smallest markation that can be made by the scribes. And we see in the Old Testament, right? For example, Ezra was a priest and a scribe. What does that mean? It meant part of Ezra's job was to copy the Torah over and over and over exactly as the previous version existed. And that serif is the smallest jot or tittle that could be made. But if it's not there, the wording is inaccurate.
You miss it when you look at jot or tittle. It's,
right.
It's because the root, this is Hebraic.
Exactly.
So you're talking about actual Hebraic letters.
Definitely.
And the yud's tiny.
Exactly. It's actually the smallest mark on the smallest letter is what Yeshua is saying right here. And in a way, you could still read it. It would make sense. But he's saying without that smallest mark, it's inaccurate. And I'm telling you that until heaven and earth pass away, I'm not here to abolish that. I'm here to fulfill the very exact nature of what God required of Israel and what he requires of all mankind in terms of righteous standing with him.
So that's conflicting for many people because of this idea that the law and grace are in opposition.
Right.
And you have this picture of the God of the Old Testament.
Exactly.
Being a God of judgment, a God of vengeance, right?
Right.
Very harsh, very vengeful, but then a God of the God of the New Testament, the same God, one God, but then you have the compassion, the mercy, the forgiveness, the healing. But they seem to be in contrast.
Exactly.
You have a different picture.
I do, and we're going to look at some verses here today in the few minutes we have together from the Sermon on the Mount. And the phrase that's repeated so often, Jonathan, is "You've heard it said." Right? If you read almost any version of the Bible, you're gonna find it's gonna say something very similar to, like in chapter 5, verse 21 of Matthew. "You've heard it said," and it's "You've heard it said something, but I tell you something else or something more." And we can misinterpret that to see Jesus kind of saying, "You've heard the law, but now I'm going to do something completely new." And what he's actually saying, what we're going to unpack today, is that you've heard it said, this is what it means to fulfill the law, but I'm going to tell you what it really means at a heart level, because God doesn't see the outward appearance. He's looking at the heart. And that's what Jesus is telling his followers.
Great.
Yeah. So let's look first at verse 21, and this is, you know these verses, but we're going to talk about the Old Testament context of where this is coming from. When Jesus says, "You've heard it said," well, where did they hear it said, right? It's a valid question. So first of all, verse 21, "You've heard it said," or "you've heard it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever commits murder shall be subject to judgment. But I tell you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be subject to judgment, and everyone who says to his brother, Raka, or kind of, I curse you, shall be subject to the council. For whoever says, you fool, shall be subject to fiery Gehenna." Whoever says you fool is subject to the same punishment as actually murdering. And this whole "you've heard it said," it actually comes from the Ten Commandments, right? And that's case in point in a way, Jonathan. People say, "Well, God's done with the law." Really? Is he done? Is he done with "you shall not lie," "you shall not steal," "you shall not murder"? Definitely not. But we tend to throw out the whole law in the name of the New Testament.
Ezra, I have to note it when you hear this argument, grace versus law, and a common one is tithing. Mm-hmm. Tithing is old,
right?
But in the New Covenant, they lay down 100% of their belongings and the resources at the apostles' feet. It goes from lesser to greater.
Exactly.
And this is what we're seeing in this passage. Before, the law brought you to this standard.
Right.
But now, with the law written on our hearts, this is the standard. It's higher, it's not lesser.
Yeah.
So if you want, the argument to, okay, don't tithe, which is, because it's the law, is, okay, then give everything away.
Sure.
I'm not suggesting you do that, by the way. But respond to that. That's the law's done away as if we have no responsibility, but Yeshua says in the new, with the Holy Spirit, you're capable of doing more.
That's the key, with the Holy Spirit, right? Because a wrong conclusion in the example of tithing is, well, you know, Paul says, give whatever you've decided to give in your heart with joy. Okay, here's a 0.5%, Lord. I can give that with a lot of joy and be on my merry way. But as you said, the ceiling of the law is the floor for God's followers filled with his Spirit. And really, right, oh no, God's asking actually for 100% of my affections, my possessions, my treasure. In the natural, we can't do it, can we? It's by his Spirit, by the indwelling of his Holy Spirit day by day, that we're even capable of approaching the idea of fulfilling the commandments.
You know, when I think of grace and law, which is not a conflict, but they do hold each other in tension, I think of Jeremiah 31, where it talks about the Spirit coming within you. Mm-hmm. We're no longer under the law. The question is, what happened to the law?
Sure.
It hasn't been eradicated, but it's been taken off of our shoulders.
Exactly.
We're no longer under it. Now it's in our heart.
Exactly.
And that's where the law has, where has the law gone? It's gone inside.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Jeremiah 31, right? The days are coming, God says, when I'll make
new
covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Jacob, not like the one I made with their fathers, which I wrote on tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments that Moses carried down the mountain.
It was a burden.
Exactly. It was heavy for Moses, and it was heavy. It was actually unbearable because of our fallen state, because of our sinful nature. We could not in ourself, by our own strength in the flesh,
but in the new,
exactly.
I'll write it in your heart in your mind.
Written on tablets of human heart.
And then it becomes not only doable, but we exceed the standards of the law.
That's exactly right. The ceiling of the law becomes the floor when we're filled with His Spirit.
That's beautiful imagery. By grace.
Yeah, amen.
By grace,
amen.
We're enabled to do the law. It reminds me of James. One says, you have faith, another works. But the response, the right response is, I will show you my faith by my works.
That's right.
We actually become doers of the word because we're enabled with the law inside our heart.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, we have to take a quick break so that we can tell you about how you can get involved changing the lives of Jewish people through this ministry. Now, I know that you may be presented with a lot of different opportunities to give, but I want you to know that your support of Jewish Voice is making a huge difference in the lives of Jewish people right now. Please take a moment to listen to our announcer, and Ezra and I will be right back with much more.
As Jonathan and Ezra are teaching, the Old Testament was not replaced by the words of Jesus and the apostles. It is the foundational teaching they quoted over and over to validate the Word of God to those who would listen. For your one-time gift today of $40 or more, we want to send you this Confessing the Hebrew Scriptures workbook entitled El Roi, The God Who Sees Me. The workbook comes with an audio CD, which allows you to follow along reading the scripture in English, and then, by using transliteration, you can begin speaking in Hebrew the very first time you open the workbook. Also included is this unique Shema keychain, embossed with the inscription in Hebrew, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Jonathan is encouraging you to join him as a new monthly Shalom partner. As you make an ongoing commitment and become a new Shalom partner with a gift of just $30 today, you'll also receive this replica of a clay jar just like the ones the Dead Sea Scrolls were found in. Make sure to request the Old Testament package as you support Jewish Voice outreaches around the world with an ongoing gift of just $30 a month. Let our representative know what level of giving you would like to participate in. If you prefer, you can always choose to give securely online at jewishvoice.tv. Thank you for your generous support of Jewish Voice. Now, let's rejoin Jonathan and Ezra.
Welcome back. Hey, before we get back into the topic, I just want to say thank you. We honestly couldn't do this work without you. We just wouldn't be able to. So thank you for your generous giving, and especially for joining Jewish Voice as a monthly Shalom partner. Your ongoing support of this ministry is so valued. On behalf of our entire staff and all the people that we're able to help, we appreciate you so much. So again, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, amen. Jonathan, we get to be, what a privilege it is, what an honor in our lives to be the feet of them bringing good news. And the scriptures are clear in the Old Testament and the New Testament, how will they go unless they're sent?
Yeah, and you may not be able to come with us to Africa, but you can send us and you share in the reward of that. Yeah. I want to continue with this discussion and just say with absolute clarity, we are no longer under the law. The question is, where is the law? What happened to the law? And the Bible gives us the answer. It's been written in our hearts and our minds. And Ezra, as you were saying before, that creates a floor, not a ceiling.
Exactly.
In the New Testament.
The ceiling of what we could ever in our own righteousness hope to achieve in trying to fulfill the law becomes the floor empowered by the Spirit of God with that law written on our hearts to actually walk in righteousness and to fulfill God's requirements of us. And I just want to point out here, Jonathan, some of our audience may be listening and saying, wait a minute, are you saying that all believers, Jewish and Gentile, have to fulfill the 613 commandments? We're absolutely not saying that. Jewish people can't. That's the whole lesson, is that we can't in and of ourselves. And certainly, believers in Jesus, not from a Jewish background, are not required to fulfill the law. What we're talking about here is a work of the Spirit of God for Jew and Gentile alike, writing it on
our hearts.
You
have lots of examples, but I've got to jump in with a Hebrew lesson here. Yeah. I'm going to teach you all the word. We're going to put it on the screen in Hebrew and English. Ruach.
Good.
Ruach. Ruach is spirit. The Spirit of God has enabled you to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, and to actually demonstrate your faith by your works.
Amen.
I love that. Isn't
Amen.
That great?
It is. And, you know, Yeshua's commandments, Jesus' commandments here to the listeners on the Sermon on the Mount require the Ruach, right? In essence, he's saying this was the standard before, but now the standard's way up here. And the response, if we're being honest with ourselves and we're being humble enough to acknowledge it, is, oh, Lord, have mercy. I can't do that. Only by your Spirit, right? Not by might, not by power, but by my Ruach.
And I'll add grace because it even deals with thought life.
Sure.
This is the law.
Exactly.
But now I'm even holding you accountable for what you're thinking.
Yeah.
And we all fall short of the glory of God. We all fall short of His standards.
Yeah.
And that's why it's all about grace.
Exactly, Jonathan. Right. What you said here in verse 27 of Matthew 5, where we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says again, "You've heard it said, or you've heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that everyone who looks upon a woman with lust after her has already committed adultery with her in the heart." So Jesus is saying, you've been taught it's about the action, but I'm talking to you about the premeditation.
You're poking people now.
I'm poking myself and all of us.
You feel that finger going through the screen?
Right. And right. Well, I'm righteous. I never did this, and I always did that. Okay, but what did you think about, and how long did you let it exist in your mind? And he's saying, that's falling short too. We need the presence and the Spirit of God to help us fulfill this law. And Jesus is speaking, as we said, to people in the Galilee, this region of people who, in a way, dwelt in a land of darkness, right? They were somewhat outcasts from the religious elite of Jerusalem and other parts of Israel, wondering, can I ever do what's required to be counted righteous in God's sight? And Jesus is saying, yeah, because it's about the heart, not only about the action.
You know, Ezra, this makes the Old Testament so relevant.
Right.
Because it's the foundation for the new. And if we really want to understand God's standards and His grace, by the way, this idea that God is a God of vengeance in the old and grace in the new is completely false. Just think of the sacrificial system, mm-hmm. and the faith that's required to lay hands on an animal and transfer sin. That's faith and grace. And then, of course, look at Ananias and Sapphira. They belong in the Old Testament.
Right.
If you have this false dichotomy of grace and law,
sure,
they lie to the Holy Spirit. They die on the spot.
Exactly.
It's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And His standards haven't changed.
Exactly. We see it all the way through the book of Revelation, right? His heart is always to have mercy.
Always.
He's not willing that any should perish. And yet in His providence, we have to deal with the hard reality that He sees the condition of each of our hearts. And He knows, like Ananias and Sapphira, He knows the hearts that were somehow hardened towards Him beyond repair. And yet He's always stretching out a hand of mercy, not willing that any should perish. Jonathan, I'm looking here. Kind of final example for today from the Sermon on the Mount, verse 38 of Matthew 5. You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And this is actually coming from, it's in Leviticus, it's in Exodus, it's in Leviticus, and it's in Deuteronomy, repeated at least three times in the Torah, in the law. This is the law. In essence, equal punishment for equal situation. And yet Jesus is saying, if you want to really understand the heart of God, but I tell you, don't resist an evildoer, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn to him also the other. And so he's saying you'd be righteous, right? According to the letter of the law, you could take vengeance on your enemies. But you really want to be righteous. Trust that I am the Lord who does mercy and justice in the earth.
Talk about lesser to greater. This
wow.
is a hard one.
Yeah.
We could do a show or even a series on forgiveness, on turning the other cheek.
Right.
On this one scripture.
Sure.
It's important. It repeats itself again and again and again and again that we have to forgive.
That's right.
And it's more than just seeking justice.
Right.
Fair justice.
Yeah. Chapter 5 ends with, you know, you've heard, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And we all kind of say, amen, yes, that's the word of the Lord. This is a hard saying. Apart from the Ruach, apart from the yeah. Spirit of God, it's impossible.
I was going to use the word impossible,
yeah.
but by God's grace, we're enabled to do it. But it takes time. And the beautiful thing is that God forgives us
Amen.
When we forgive others.
And Jonathan, as if the requirements of the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5 weren't enough, it goes even deeper. It gets to the heart in Matthew chapter 6. It says, Jesus is saying to the listeners, beware. Be careful about practicing your righteousness before others to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you do tzedakah in Hebrew, or righteous deeds, righteous works, don't sound a trumpet before like the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, so that they may be glorified by men. And it goes on, do these things in secret. And the idea here isn't that Jesus is changing the law. It's that the law was meant to be practiced in the eyes of God. And unfortunately, a religious system developed around the law, which existed almost entirely to display our righteousness to the people to our left and to our right. And Jesus is saying that was never the point. It's about an audience of one, right? I'm convicted as I'm saying this. What do I do to be seen by men? What do you do to be seen as righteous? What do we do to be seen as a good believer? And Yeshua is saying, no, the Father's looking deeper than that. He's looking at your heart. And if you do something that nobody else ever sees that's pleasing to him, that's where the real reward is.
And that's what he's confronting.
Right.
This is not a battle, Jesus against the Pharisees
exactly.
or Sadducees.
Exactly.
It's hypocrisy.
Yeah.
It's missing, and it's not some new system.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing new. It's speaking with authority that which was required from the very beginning. The
right.
The heart intent.
Yep. That's it. That's it. In essence, it's the manipulation or the misunderstanding of the law. The holy, righteous law from God, which won't pass away until all things are fulfilled, it had become about works unto being seen. And Yeshua's resetting, right? He's resetting and saying, no, it's about the heart unto me.
You know, don't you think that that's an issue of human nature? It's not about about Judaism.
Right.
It's about a demonstration of righteousness that's false because
exactly.
it's outward. And Ezra, I'll be honest, I found myself doing this repeatedly.
Sure.
You learn the language, you learn the behavior,
right.
and you demonstrate that behavior even when your heart is far from God. But
wow.
he sees.
Yeah.
And I just want to say that to all of you. He sees the heart.
That's right.
The good news is that he forgives. Paul had this dilemma that he talks about. There's things that I know what I should do, but I can't do it.
Right.
I know there's things I shouldn't be doing, but I'm doing those.
Anyway, yeah.
What's the way out?
Right. Wretched man that I am
yeah.
apart from his grace.
And it is grace
yeah.
and the power of the Ruach. Remember
right.
that word Ruach. Hey, we have to take a quick moment to share with our viewers how you can get involved with Jewish Voice and also how you can receive the resources that we're making available today. I want you to pray about joining us as a Shalom partner, a monthly supporter. Shalom means peace and completion, and you can help us bring that to Jewish people around the world. Your continued monthly support will literally transform lives and give us the opportunity to share the gospel with thousands of Jewish people and their neighbors. Stay with us. We'll be back right after this short message. Ezra and I want to come into agreement and prayer with you for your needs, so don't go anywhere.
As Jonathan and Ezra are teaching, the Old Testament was not replaced by the words of Jesus and the apostles. It is the foundational teaching they quoted over and over to validate the Word of God to those who would listen. For your one-time gift today of $40 or more, we want to send you this Confessing the Hebrew Scriptures workbook entitled El Roi, The God Who Sees Me. The workbook comes with an audio CD, which allows you to follow along reading the scripture in English, and then, by using transliteration, you can begin speaking in Hebrew the very first time you open the workbook. Also included is this unique Shema keychain, embossed with the inscription in Hebrew, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Jonathan is encouraging you to join him as a new monthly Shalom partner. As you make an ongoing commitment and become a new Shalom partner with a gift of just $30 today, you'll also receive this replica of a clay jar just like the ones the Dead Sea Scrolls were found in. Make sure to request the Old Testament package as you support Jewish Voice outreaches around the world with an ongoing gift of just $30 a month. Let our representative know what level of giving you would like to participate in. If you prefer, you can always choose to give securely online at jewishvoice.tv. Thank you for your generous support of Jewish Voice. Now, let's rejoin Jonathan and Ezra.
Ezra, the two greatest privileges we have is, one, sharing the gospel with Jewish people and their neighbors.
Right.
And seeing lives transformed.
Right.
And two, praying for the needs of our partners.
That's
and
absolutely.
That's what we want to do in the remaining time. We want to come into agreement with you. The Bible says where two or three agree on earth is touching anything. anything, it shall be done. So I want you to agree with us in prayer right now. Whatever need you have, there's no need that's too great or too small for the Lord to touch. So let's just come into agreement now. Father, in the name of Yeshua, we release your healing power. We release your divine provision. We speak family unity and restoration. Every need, no matter how great or small, we thank you that it's done, that it's answered. In the name of Yeshua, through faith in his name, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. I want you to just trust the Lord because he hears and answers prayer. If you'd like more information about our ministry, you can log on to our website. It's jewishvoice1word.tv, jewishvoice.tv. You can also send in your prayer requests on the website. And we have a team here at Jewish Voice that's committed to praying for your needs by name. Believe me, they're not going in a dumpster. We will pray over your needs and believe God for you. We're here for you. We believe in the power of prayer. We care about you, and most importantly, the Lord cares. Well, as we close our program today, I want to remind you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Psalm 122:6 says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love thee. If you want to prosper, pray for Israel and the Jewish people. Until next time, this is Jonathan Bernis with Ezra Benjamin saying shalom and God bless you. Hi, I'm Jonathan Bernis, President and CEO of Jewish Voice. I was recently made aware of an alarming statistic. Listen to this now. 6 out of 10 Americans today don't currently have a will or trust, and another 30 to 35% are either poorly written or outdated. Because of your financial support to our ministry, we're able to provide you with independent, professional advice to help you develop a will or trust at no cost to you. I recently attended one of these seminars, and it was really helpful to me, and I highly recommend it. If you already have a will or trust, you can have it reviewed so that you can have peace of mind that you are being a good steward in providing for your family and children.